Today's shiur, the Masechta Pesachim Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph, and we're going to begin on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Amar Rava. So Rava tells us, we were speaking about eating matzah and the Machlokes of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and Rabbi Kiva, till when are you allowed to eat matzah? Pesach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria said that the Korban Pesach should only be eaten until Chatzos, as we learned in the previous year. And Rabbi Kiva said, midoraisa, the Korban Pesach to be eaten all night. Omer Rava, ochel matzah bezman hazeh ach Chatzos, eating matzah after Chatzos, Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria lo yotzi yidei chavosoi. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you will not mekayim the mitzvah. Ask the Mar Peshitta, obviously. Kivin the iskish lepesach, if we know the matzah is compared to Pesach, because as the pasuk says, a matzah imroim yichluah, you have to eat the korban Pesach together with matzah, so you should have the same din as Pesach domi. So just like the korban Pesach, according to the laws of Nazaria, has to be eaten by chatzos, so too matzah. Answers the Gemara, matatema afke krom ekeisha. Yesterday we learned that matzah has its independent chiv, has an independent obligation. That's why we said that although there is no Korban Pesach b'zman hazeh, there is still chiyuv to eat matzah b'zman hazeh. So I would think that it has its own chiyuv, not compared to Korban Pesach. So although Korban Pesach you have to eat b'chatzos, that has nothing to do with matzah that we eat b'zman hazeh. Kamash Mulan, that's what Robert teaches us. The Chiyadre Kro, when the Torah taught us that matzah has its own independent chiyuv, and we still have to eat it with the rice of Bizman Azeh, Lemelsa Kamaisa Hadre. It brought it back to its original Chiyiv. And the original Chiyiv was Tilchatzois, because then we had Korban Pesach. That Chiyiv remains. So, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, we have to eat matzah by Chatzois. According to Bekiva, with the rice you have all night. With the Rabbanon, you'll have also Tilchatzois, as we explained in the previous year. So, one question that's asked is, we know in the Haggadah it says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria was sitting together with Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yeshua in Bnei Brak, v'yimusapkim Yitzis Mitzrayim kolosa halayla. They spoke all night about Yitzis Mitzrayim. But we just learned Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria says that this man is Til Chatzais. So, what's going on? After Chatzais, he should have gone to sleep. So there are two answers given. One answer is, since Bnei Brak was the city where Rekiva was the rabbi, and Rekiva obviously said you have to stay all night, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, in deference to Rekiva, also was Mesapi Yitzis Mitzrayim Kolos Alayla. But another answer given is that there are two dinim. There's a din of Korban Pesach, there's a din of the Seder, which according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria is Chatzos. But there's another din, that you're supposed to speak Yitzis Mitzrayim, you're supposed to speak about Hilchas Pesach, Achtach Tefenashina, until you're overtaken by sleep. That halacha is not directly related to the Gemara that we've been discussing. And that halacha Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria agrees with. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, you still have to speak until you fall asleep, which is exactly what happened in the story cited in the Haggadah. So, halacha l'maisa, many Rishonim, and the Shulchan Aruch passing like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, that you have to eat matzah, as we just learned by Chatzos. So what happens, as can commonly happen, if the Seder gets delayed or dragged out, and it's Chatzos is approaching, and what are you supposed to do? So there's a famous Eitzah, a famous piece of advice given by the Avni Nezer. What the Avni Nezer says to do is, let's say Chatzos is 12 o'clock. He says, at a quarter to 12, you see that you're not going to make it. Eat a piece of matzah, and then wait. Don't eat anything after you eat that piece of matzah. And you make a tanai, you make the following condition. If that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, so I'm only not allowed to eat until chatzos. So I'm not going to eat until chatzos. After chatzos, the seder is over, the night is over, I can now eat, and then resume your seder. If that halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, then I'm allowed to eat all night, because the Zman is till the morning, so I don't have to make any tonight, and you keep your Seder going normal, Matzah, Maror, Kairav, Shulchan Aruch, Afkana. Ask the Michas Yitzchak that we've been explaining in the last two shiurim, that even Rabbi Kiva agrees that you're supposed to eat Matzah by Chatzos. The entire Machloikis between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is that Chiv Midaraisu Midrabbana, but that you have to finish by Chatzos, even Rabbi Kiva agrees. So what is the Avdi Nezer saying? So he takes an entirely different approach, and he actually quotes a Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer said that they used to, if a person sees that he won't make a choice, as long as he eats a kazayis matzah during the Seder, and he before chatzos, and he has a mind to mekayim the mitzvah, that's good enough. Because he explains in halacha there are two concepts. There's one concept that we've been learning, according to Belez Ben Amzari Midaraisa, according to Kiva Midrabbana, that you have to eat the matzah before chatzos. So if you eat it before chatzos, it's fine. Then there's another din, which according to him is not connected at all to the din of chatzos. And that is the din that we learned yesterday, that after you eat matzah, you're not allowed to eat anything. But that din isn't connected to chatzos. So eat another kazayis matzah whenever you get up to it, whenever you get up to afikoyman. It could be later in the night. That's not related to chatzos. And just make sure not to eat afterwards. So according to him, you can eat the kazayis whenever you want. Eat afterwards. You don't have to wait till chatzos to continue. And then eat another kazayis for afikoyman. Now what is the halacha? You're not allowed to, we learned, just reviewed it, that you're not allowed to eat after you eat the kazayis matzah. Emaftir and acha matzah afikoyman, we learned yesterday. Till when does that go on? So it's a machloikis. Some say it goes till alois hashachar. You're not allowed to eat till alois hashachar, even if you go to sleep. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if somebody goes to sleep and wakes up before alois hashachar, since he slept in between, he's allowed to eat, even though it's before alois hashachar and still the night of Pesach. So we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Hapigel v'anoyser, the Mishnah taught us, the pigel and noyser, v'tamas yidayim, v'tam nehims. Says the Gemara, Huna Rav Chizda. Rav Huna Rav Chizda say, Charam mishim chash de kuna. One explains it because of Kohanim who we accuse. We'll explain that in a moment. V'charam mishim atli kohana, Kohanim that we are lazy. And we'll explain that too. Charam how much pigel and noyser, v'tam yidayim, on the size of a kazayis. And the Charama one says the size of a kebaya. Says the Gemara, there's really no disagreement. Because Chatani Apigal, one was explaining why Pigal is Matama, the Chatani a Noiser, and one was explaining why Noiser is Matama. Mandatani Apigal, the reason Pigal is Matama, Mishum Chaj de Kahuna. Kahana we accuse. What does that mean? The way the Rishonim explain is we have a kohen. Somebody brings a carbon, and that kohen wants to hurt, not physically hurt, but financially hurt the person bringing the carbon. So the kohen, when he brings the carbon, has a mind that the carbon should become pigel. If the carbon is pigel, it's disqualified. And now the person who brought the carbon loses out because he's going to have to bring another carbon. So since we accuse Kohanim of doing that, how will we prevent the Kohen from doing that? By telling him, if you touch the carbon that's pigel, you become tummy. So now he won't make the carbon pigel. So the first question the Mefarshim asked is that if the Kohen makes someone else's carbon pigel, he's financially responsible. He's a mazik. He caused damage. So the answer, he's going to say, I didn't do it intentionally. He said, I did it unintentionally. So it's unintentionally, he's not a mazik. And therefore, he may do it. Ask Tosfos, what kind of a person is this? We have a person that has a carbon, he's going to go have a mind that the carbon should be pigled to hurt someone else. That person is worried about Tumma. So Tosfos answers that in their world, they were more concerned with Tumma than other things. So you have a person that intentionally will harm someone else, that he'll do. A tumah, I would never make anything tum. Others say that maybe this, another pshat is that it was maybe unintentional, but he won't tell the person that this is pigle, and the person who had brought the carbon will think he has a good carbon. How will he know that the carbon is pigle? Because the kohen won't touch it. He sees that it's tameh, the kohen's not touching, and he'll figure out that it's pigle. Rabbeinu Chananu has a different approach. Pigle, we know you're not allowed to eat. Pigle is a chiyuv karis if you eat it. So Rabbeinu Chananu says, the reason Chazal made a takana that pigle is tameh, is to make sure that the kohen doesn't come to eat the carbon that's pigle and be chayiv karis. What is the nafkamina between the pshatim we learned? Explains the Chazon Ish. If the reason is because we're concerned that the kohen is going to make somebody else's carbon pigle or became pigle, it makes no difference what kind of pigle it is. Because we know there are two types of pigle. There's a pigle which is chutz l'zmanoi, where the kohen had an intention to bring the carbon past the right time, or eat it past the right time. There's a chiv karis for that pigle. Then there's a pigle which is chutz m'koimoi, where there was a machshava to bring it or eat it past the right place. There is no chiv karis for that. So if the reason for the Gzeres Chazal is like the Rabbeinu Chananu will explain, that we're worried about chiv karis, so it only be on the pigle that's a chutz l'zmanoi. If the Gzeres, because we're accusing the kohen, it makes no difference if it's a pigle with chutz l'zmanoi or it's a pigle chutz l'mkoimoi. V'chad tani anoisu. And the other man don't explain that we're describing noiser, we're worried that the kohanim that are lazy and they have kachim that they have to eat, and instead of eating it in the right amount of time, what they do is they take it easy and the carbon becomes noiser. So in order to avoid that happening, so we tell them if it's going to become noiser and you'll pick it up, you'll become tamei, and that'll give them the proper attention to eat it up in the right amount of time. Or another pshat the mafarshim say is that noisa has to be burned. But let's say there's just a little noisa left over. So the kohen may take the approach to go through the tircha, to go through the bother of burning the noisa just for this little amount of noisa is not worth it. So what's he going to do? He'll let it accumulate, which we don't want to accumulate, because while it's accumulating, somebody may come to Chas V'Shalom and eat it. It's supposed to be burnt, and he's being over a mitzvah of burning it. So we say, as long as it's around, if you touch it, it'll be tamei, and that'll weed away, the person will make sure to burn it in the proper amount of time. The Chadam HaKazayis once said that the Shir Tum is a Kazayis. The Chadam HaKabei once said the Shir Tum is Kabei. What is the Machlokes? Mandom HaKazayis, the Mandom that says the Shir is a Kazayis, Kisura, the Shir that you're not allowed to eat something that's possible, is a Kazayis. So that's why Chazal said, if you have a kezayis of pigle, you have a kezayis of noiser, it's tamei. Man da'amah kebeya, the one that says the shear of the size of kebeya, is ketumasa. Because the halach is that oichlin, foods, become tamei by the shear of a kebeya. And really, there's a machlokes rishonim. We've quoted this machlokes rishonim. According to Tosfos, food never becomes tamei when it's less than the size of a kebeya. That's what the Gemara is saying. Since the size of tumah by food is a kebeya, that's why we have to wait for a kebeya. According to Rashi, food can become tumah when it's less than a kebeya, when it's the size of a kezayis. But it can't transmit tumah unless it's a kebeya. So the Gemara says here, kebeya kutumasai, it means the shear of food that is able to transmit tumah, which is the shear of a kebeya. Says the Mishnah, the halach is that you're supposed to make a bracha when you eat a carbon. Says the Mishnah, birech birchas haPesach, on Pesach by night, we'll learn the first pshat of the Rashbam first, on Pesach by night, two kabanas are brought. One is a carbon Pesach, are eaten, not brought, they're brought actually before. There's a carbon Pesach eaten, and a carbon Chagiga eaten. Each carbon requires its own bracha. The bracha on a carbon Pesach is either lechol Pesach, al achilas Pesach, al achilas psochim, and the bracha on the carbon chagiga is al achilas zevach. Teaches us the Mishnah. Birech birchas haPesach. If somebody made a bracha on the carbon Pesach, potes sol zevach. Then you don't have to make another bracha on the carbon shlomer. Certainly, the mefarshim say one bracha cannot be said for both. Why not? Because we learned earlier in this parak ain oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. You're not allowed to make mitzvahs into a bundle. So making one bracha for two different kabbanas is certainly ain oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The subject of the Mishnah is, can you make one bracha that should take care of both kabbanas? So the Tanakam, which is Rabbi Shmuel, says the bracha on the Karban Pesach could work for the bracha on the Karban Chagiga, but Birech Eshel Zevach, the bracha on the Karban Shlomim, like Pata Shal Pesach, cannot work for the Karban Pesach, to Rabbi Shmuel. And why, we'll see in the Gemara. Ask the Tzlach the obvious question. How did it work Pesach by night? First they ate the Karban Chagiga till they got pretty full, Allah Saiva, and then they ate the Karban Pesach. So how could it be that you're going to make the Karban Bracha on the Karban Pesach, and then after, and it should work for the Karban Chagiga, you eat the Karban Chagiga before you eat the Karban Pesach? So there are a number of answers given. One answer given, it's a pretty practical situation, is that you have two people sitting next to each other, and one person is much ahead of the other. He's up to the Karban Pesach, and his friend is only up to the Karban Chagiga. So he's going to make a bracha on the Karban Pesach, and he wants to be mitzi the person who's going to be eating the Karban Chagiga at that time. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that the person forgot. He started eating the Karban Pesach, then he realized, oh, I'm supposed to eat the Karban Chagiga first, and now he wants to eat the Karban Chagiga and then come back to the Karban Pesach. Now the question is, since he already made the bracha on the Karban Pesach, does he have to make another bracha on the Karban Chagiga? But the Tzlach has a different pshat. The Tzlach says that the halacha is that a Karban Pesach is eaten last. But he said that's not what happened by the Pesach, by the Seder. He says by the Seder, first they ate the Karban Pesach, then they ate Karban Chagiga, and then they ate Karban Pesach afterwards. So what was the question? The Karban Chagiga precedes the Karban Pesach. That's not what happened. The Karban Pesach came first, then the Karban Chagiga, and then back to the Karban Pesach. And therefore, there's no problem. That's the first pshat of the Rashbam. But there's another pshat of the Rashbam. The Rashbam says that perhaps somebody was anyway in Yerushalayim, Erev Pesach, so he brought other kabbanis. He brought other kabbanis that day because he had obligation to bring those kabbanis. And now we're discussing what happens by the Seder. Says the Rashbam, he has those kabbanis and these other and the Karban Pesach. And the Mishnah is discussing if the bracha on the Karban Pesach could work for the other kabbanis. So the Midrash David says that this shot of the Rashbam really depends on the Machlokes Rishonim. He says, making a bracha means that there's a mitzvah. You only make a bracha when there's a mitzvah. So according to some Rishonim, Rashi, for example, every time you eat meat from a carbon, you're mekayim a mitzvah. So the Mishnah makes a lot of sense. The person ate the carbon, has the other carbon, and he has the carbon Pesach, and now the question is, could the bracha work from one to the other? But according to the Rambam, says the Midrash David, you don't make a bracha only when you're mechuyif to eat the carbon. There is no chiv to eat carbon meat, not for kana, for the owners. So then there's no bracha made. So the whole discussion isn't relevant, says the Midrash David. But now, there's a question that many Mefarshim ask. Karban Chagiga and Karban Pesach are connected, as we've been learning. It's really a pasuk. The pasuk says, V'zavachta l'Hashem elokecha, tzoyin u'bokar, and we learned the Gemara earlier, tzoyin zu Karban Pesach, bokar zu Karban Chagiga. So they're connected. So since they're connected, so we can have a discussion if the bracha for the Karban Pesach can work for the Karban Chagiga or not. But what connection is there between a carbon that I brought Erev Pesach because it was convenient for me and the Karban Pesach that I'm eating that night? That we should say that one, that the bracha on the Karban Pesach should work for the bracha for the Karban Chagiga, for all the carbon, when I talk about Karban Chagiga. So the Achroinim answer that since we know that Pesach by night, we have to eat the Karban Pesach ala soiva. We have to be full when we eat the Karban Pesach. So every carbon is connected to the Karban Pesach. By eating that other carbon meat, I'm able to achieve ala soiva, and I'm supposed to be ala soiva. So all kabbonis are connected to the Karban Pesach. But that is another question. The last blot of Masechta Pesachim, we should really say over something for Meir Shapiro. Meir Shapiro asked the following question. We know there's a halacha, aim avim kotchin l'beis apsol. We're never allowed to do anything to limit the amount of time you're allowed to eat a carbon. So asks Ramesh Shapiro, it's Erev Pesach, and the Rashbam says we're bringing other kabbalas. I'm bringing a carbon shlom. When am I going to eat this carbon? Today, Erev Pesach, tonight, and tomorrow. But we learned that after you eat the carbon Pesach, emaftir nacha Pesach afikoyim, the previous mission. So from Chatzos, when I finish the carbon Pesach, until the morning, I'm not allowed to eat. So I'm limiting the amount of time I'm allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. I'm not allowed to eat the Karban Shlomim. So how can I bring a Karban Shlomim under such circumstances? Any Karban. Karban Chagiga I have to bring. But any other Karban, why should I be allowed to bring? I'm limiting the amount of time I'm allowed to eat it. Says Ramey Shapiro, says from the Kli Chemda, beautiful terms. Let's understand. According to Bekiva, with the rice I'm allowed to eat the Karban Pesach all night. So there's no question. I'll eat the Karban Pesach the last moment of the night, and I keep the other Karbanos all night. Who's the question according to the laws of Ben Azariah? That I have to eat the Karban Pesach by Chatzos. But what did we say at the beginning of this year? According to the laws of Ben Azariah, the entire Isser of eating is only until Chatzos. After Chatzos, the Seder is over, I can eat. So there's no problem. Until Chatzos, I can eat all the Karbanos and just eat the Pesach last. After Chatzos, there's no din, because the Seder is over, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I could eat all night. So therefore, I could bring other Kabbonis on Erev Pesach. Rekiva disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua. He says, Loi zu b'teres zu, the Loi zu b'teres zu. The Karban Pesach can't, the Brach on the Karban Pesach can't exempt the Brach on the Karban Chagiga, nor vice versa. Explains the Gemara. What is the Gemara trying to explain? What is the basis for the machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rekiva? We know that the essential avoider in all kabbonis is having the blood applied to the mizbeach, srikas adam. But the Torah gives us two different ways of doing it. One is called zrika, and one is called shvicha. Zrika means to throw the blood towards the wall of the mizbeach. Shvicha means to pour it down the wall. Says the Gemara in explaining Rabbi Shmuel. Shetem Tzolayim Lodir Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the halacha is that a Karban Pesach requires Shvicha, pouring. Other Kabbonis, Karban Chagiga for example, that's the Karban discussion, requires Zrika. Says Rabbi Shmuel that Shvicha is a much more powerful, potent way of doing Zrika Saddam than Zrika, because I'm pouring it right down the wall. Here I'm only throwing it against the wall. So since Shvicha is more powerful than Zrika, so Zrika is included in Shvicha. So Kishtim Tzolayim Adir Vishmol, Zrika, the way the blood is thrown by Karban Chagiga, Bechlal Shvicha is incorporated in the Shvicha. However, V'loi Shvicha Bechlal Zrika. Zrika is weaker than Shvicha, so it's not included in Shvicha. That's why the Bracha of the Karban Pesach can work for the Karban Chagiga, but not vice versa. Ask Rav Shach and Avi Ezra. The Gemara is saying a fact. Shvicha is a more potent manner of doing Zrika Saddam, so it incorporates Zrika. But that doesn't answer the bottom line question. The bottom line question is, why is the bracha for Karban Pesach going to work for Karban Chagiga? So he quotes a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi explains that we have a klal in all Hilchos Brachos of Iker and Tuffel. There's the main thing and the subordinate thing. Certainly, Pesach by night, the main carbon is the Karban Pesach. The subordinate carbon is Karban Chagiga. So since the Karban Pesach is an Iker and the Karban Chagiga is the Tuffel, so that's really why we already started off with a reason to believe that the bracha for the Karban Pesach should work for the bracha for the Karban Chagiga. But that's not enough. If they're totally disparate, if they're totally different things, this is Shvicha, this is Rika. So they have this commonality, but it's not enough. So says the Gemara, besides the fact that we have a status of Iker V'Tofel, we also have a situation that Zrika is Bechlal Shvicha. given those two factors, that's why the bracha for the carbon Pesach could work for the carbon chagiga. The bracha for the carbon chagiga cannot work for carbon shlamim because the carbon Pesach is certainly not tofel to the carbon chagiga, and shvicha is not b'chlal zrika. Rabbi Kiva, however, he holds lo shvicha b'chlal zrika, lo zrika b'chlal shvicha, and therefore they're totally separate, and the bracha for one cannot work for the other. Says the Gemara, and as the Rashbam explains, how does this Gemara, we're going to learn a Gemara now about Pidyon HaBen, how does this get in here? Because by Pidyon HaBen, there are two brachas made also, as we're going to learn in a moment. So since there are two brachas made by Pidyon HaBen, which is exactly the situation of the previous Gemara, where we had a bracha in the Karm Pesach, Karm Chakiga, that's why the Gemara discusses it. Says the Gemara, Shmloi Ikla L'Pidyon HaBen. Shmloi came to Pidyon HaBen, Bo'aminei, and they asked him the following question. Pshit, it's obvious, a Pidyon HaBen, that for the Pidyon HaBen, a bracha of Asher Kedishonu B'mitzvoisov, V'tzivon al Pidyon HaBen, that bracha has to be made, and Avi HaBen Mevarech, and the child's father makes the bracha. So the Tzlach asks an obvious question. If it's Pshita, if it's so obvious, which it really is, that the father makes the bracha, so why does he want to have to say it? We're going to have a question about the Shechiyonu in a moment. But the bracha on the Pidyon HaBen the father makes. Nobody has any... There's obviously no question that the Kohen should make that bracha. So why did the Gemara have to say it? So there's a Rivosh. The Rivosh says that unlike most mitzvahs, Pidyon HaBen has to be made by the father and he can't appoint a shliach. And there are a number of reasons given. One reason is that it's like a mitzvah shebegufay. There's certain mitzvahs you have to do yourself. You can't have a shliach. You can't have a shliach take dalamina for you. You can't have a shliach blow hear shayfer for you. Pidyon HaBen is a mitzvah shebegufay. Others say it's more similar to haforas nedarim. The Torah tells us that a father can be made for neder. The father can be made for neder under certain circumstances. A husband can be made for neder, but he can't make a shliach. This is the same. And the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful reason. What is the basis for Pidyon HaBen? Because the Jewish Bechorim got saved in Mitzrayim. What do we say in the Haggadah? Ani v'loy malach, ani v'loy shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself saved us. So similarly, the Father himself has to do the Pidyon HaBen and can't ask anybody else to do it. Therefore, says the Gemara, what's the Gemara teaching us? Of course the Father makes the bracha. What the Gemara is teaching us is, Al Pidyon HaBen, Asher Kedishonu Mitzvon Al Pidyon HaBen, Avi HaBen Mevarech. Only the father can make the bracha. You can't ask anyone else to make the bracha for him. You can't make a shliach. There are those that disagree with this Rivash. Rabbi Vega says the following. He says, it depends what kind of a shliach. If I have a neighbor that didn't make a Pidyon HaBen for his son, so he's not religious, whatever, so there, I can't make a Pidyon HaBen on his behalf. That's what the Rivash is saying, says Rabbi Vega. But let's say, says Rabbi Vega, I'm not here. I can't do it. And I asked somebody to do a Pidyon HaBen for my son. So since I specifically designated him, Rabbi Vega says that a Pidyon HaBen could be made by a shliach. But then the Rivash asks another question. Powerful question. He says, the nusach of the bracha is with Tzivanu, a Pidyon HaBen. Shouldn't the nusach be v'tzivon al-pinyon ha-bechor? In fact, he says, al-pinyon ha-ben is a very misleading nusach, because that nusach leads us to believe that every child requires a pinyon, which is not true. Only the bechor requires a pinyon. So shouldn't we say v'tzivon al-pinyon ha-bechor? So the Rivash answers that if somebody makes a pinyon for himself, let's say your father didn't make you a pinyon ha-ben, then the halach is that you talk the nusach ha-bracha is not b'tzivon al-pinyon ha-ben. The bracha that you made is b'tzivon al-pinyon ha-bechor. It's only when a father makes the pinyon ha-ben, and the father's obligation is because it's his son, so yes, it's a bechor. But the point that we want to emphasize is that I'm making the pinyon ha-ben because this is my son, and I as a father have an obligation, therefore we say pinyon ha-ben. So la'aloch l'maisa, the Rivash says, there's a nafkamina what bracha is made. If a father makes a bracha for a son, he says, it's tzivon al pidyon haben. if a Bechor makes a pinyan aben for himself, he says v'tzivon al pinyan abechor. Not a question, however, the Gemara is shechiyonim kimonim v'giyonim l'zman hazeh, that the bracha of shechiyonim. So there's a question. Many times the Gemara talks about the bracha of shechiyonim, and the Gemara says shechiyonim, and we all know what that means. Why over here does the Gemara teach us the whole nusach shechiyonim v'kimonim v'giyonim l'zman hazeh? We know the nusach. So the answer is there are two types of shechiyonim. There are shechiyonim that are made when you do a mitzvah that doesn't come often. We take talaminim, we make a shechiyonu. We blow shofar, we make a shechiyonu. That shechiyonu has to be connected to the mitzvah. I can't take talaminim, make a bracha on Natilas Lulav, and 2 hours later remember to make a shechiyonu. The same by shofar. But then there are other shechiyonu. The shechiyonu is not because of a mitzvah. The shechiyonu is being made because of a simcha. That's a different shechiyonu. That doesn't have to be connected to a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, the shechiyonu that's made by a pinyan aben is not strictly because of the mitzvah. Otherwise, it would have to be connected to the mitzvah. It's because of the simcha. How does the Gemara express it? The Gemara says shechiyonu, v'kimanu, v'giyanu, v'zman hazeh. I'm in a simcha. And therefore, even though the Avi Aben made the bracha on the Pinyan Aben, maybe the Kohen should make the bracha. Kohen Mevarech, Avi Aben Mevarech. Does the Kohen make the Shechiyonu, or does the father make the Shechiyonu? What's the question? Kohen Mevarech, the Kamata Hanol Yodei. The Kohen is the one that's getting the money. Or Avi Aben Mevarech, or maybe the father makes the bracha, the covered mitzvah. He's the one that's doing the mitzvah. So the way the Rishash explains the Gemara's question is as follows. Really, there's a very fundamental question. We have spoken about the Baruch Hashem many times. Because Baruch Hashem, we should still speak about it many times. Matnas Kuhuna. We give Kuhuna, we give a Kohen Truma, we give him all sorts of Matnas Kuhuna. Kohen doesn't make a bracha when he gets Matnas Kuhuna. You give him the Truma. Why all of a sudden does the Gemara begin asking a question that a Kohen should make a bracha by a Pinyan Aben? So Mefarshim answer. There's a fundamental difference between all other Matnas Kuhuna and Pinyan Aben. By all other Matnas Kuhuna, I have produce. I take off the truma. Let's say there's no kain available to give the produce. Put it into the warehouse, and when the kain comes, I'll give it to him. No kain, I don't give him. Let's say I have to make a Pinyan Aben, and there is no kain. So I go and I take the chametz slime and I put them on the side. I didn't do the mitzvah. The mitzvah requires that I, the father, give the money, and the kohen receives the money. So the mitzvah is not completed until the kohen receives the money. So the kohen is part of the mitzvah. So since the kohen is part of the mitzvah, the Gemara now wants to know who should make the shechiyonu. Does the father make the shechiyonu because it's his mitzvah? Or does the kohen make the bracha because he's also a mitzvah? And like the Farshim say, it's an easier mitzvah for the kohen than for the father. Because the father has to spend money, and the kohen doesn't have to spend any money. Says the Gemara, Shor be Midrasha, Lo Hav be Yodeh. So Rabbi Shmuel didn't know. So the way the Ben Yodeh explains is Lo Hav be Yodeh doesn't mean that he never knew. Lo Hav be Yodeh means he knew and he forgot. So what did he do? Also Shor be Midrasha. He wasn't embarrassed, and he didn't start sitting and thinking, I once knew, I'll remember. If I don't know, what do? You go to yeshiva. You go to the base marriage and you learn. Nobody should be embarrassed to ask. Asa shal ben medrasha. Amalei, and they told him, Avi ben mevarach shtayim. Avi ben makes two brachas. So the tziv explains, why is the Gemara saying that he makes two brachas? Explains the tziv, that part of the reason, and that's what the Gemara says, shtayim. There was never a question on the first bracha. The Gemara began that we know that the father makes the first bracha. The Gemara is saying, since the father made the first bracha, and now we're not quite sure who should make the shechiyonu, so we say that the father started with the mitzvah, let him complete the mitzvah, and let him make the shechiyonu also. There's an interesting machlokes. The Rambam, and that's the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, says that by bris milah, a shechiyonu was made also. The minhag in Chutz Laaretz, other Rishonim say this, is that a shechiyonu is not made by a milah. Why? So the answer is by a shachyon, by opinion of Ben, by opinion of Ben, certainly shachyon was made. By opinion of Ben, there's only a simcha, so shachyon was made. By opinion of, by bris mila, the child b'tzar. Another answer given is opinion of Ben is a very uncommon simcha, so you make a shachyonu, like we said before. It's a tremendous simcha that we have to be able to make this mitzvah. Bris mila is more common. And another answer is opinion of Ben is not allowed to be made before the child is 30 days old. Why? Because then we know for sure that he's no longer a nafel, that he's okay. By bris is made by 8 days. We're not quite sure 100% that the child's going to make it, so we don't make a shechiyanu. The hilchasa is the avia ben mevarach shtayim. He makes both the bracha on the pinyan ben, and he makes the bracha on the shech, and he makes the shechiyanu. The ben yoyada and the emre emes both explain. We went 120 blat mesachta psachim. Mesachta psachim is so rich with so many halachas about Pesach. Why do we end the mesachta with a totally extraneous subject about pinyan ben? So they explain. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekayim Taryag Mitzvahs, just like we're Mekayim the Mitzvahs. That's what the Gemara says. Just what tefillin, what does it say in our tefillin? Because we're Mechuyiv to wear tefillin. And what does it say in the tefillin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says the Gemara, we're Mekayim the Mitzvah of Pinyan HaBen, when we have a child that's a Bechor. How's the Eivish to Mekayim the Mitzvah? Pinyan HaBen. He was Mekayim the Mitzvah Pinyan HaBen when he took us out of Mitzrayim, when he saved us then. And he will be Mekayim again Pinyan HaBen, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Pidei Es Yisrael Mekol Tzeroisov, which is really the concept of Pesach, the Geula that we will all have. Hanu Lach Arvi Pesachim Slich Lam Masech Pesachim, Hanu Lach Arvi Pesachim Slich Lam Masech Pesachim, Hanu Lach Arvi Pesachim Slich Lam Masech Pesachim. Mazel Tov.